favorites here at Stand Up or Shut Up, Mr. Eric Hollaback.
Yeah!
We were, Kyle was talking about John Rowe earlier. I wanted to say a few stories about him. We just moved to Los Angeles, and I was like, so, do you got a place to stay or something like that? You know, do you have a job or anything going on? And he's like, oh, I know a guy who has a FedEx van. I was like, that's interesting. He's like, no, but he like gutted it out. He put a couch in there. Cool. So you're going to be in an un-air-conditioned FedEx van with a guy with a mattress on the floor. Like, you dumb fuck. He stayed at my house one time, and he's like, all right, I got a flight tomorrow. I was like, all right, cool. And then he left before I even got up, right? And I was like, then I go to the Howlin' Wolf, and I was like, oh yeah, John went to Los Angeles. And they're like, no, he's here. I was like, what? I was so pissed. And he stayed over my house one time, this last time, and he's like, you know, I fed him breakfast in the morning, we were having a good time, I was giving him booze, and I'm like, all right, let's go. And he's like, actually, maybe I'll go tomorrow. And I'm like, this isn't a hotel, motherfucker. I'm driving you right now, dropping you off at the airport. You better fucking suck your way to that van. I hope the Uber driver, instead of like cash or Visa, takes like a fucking blowjob from an alcoholic. You know? Ooh, my best friend. Anyway. Trump is talking about building a wall in Mexico, and I saw some like very progressive designers, like architects, they're trying to get that bid, they're trying to get that contract. That's going to be like a $20 trillion contract to build that, you know? So I saw these designs, and one of them, it was like a thick wall with like solar panels on the top, there was like gentrified condos and shit like that. It came with like an 8-track player inside, like, oh, these are where hipsters are gonna live and make an album, you know? Wow, that's fancy. Yeah. It's like, oh, they're totally off the grid. It's, you know, free energy from the solar panels. And outside the back window is where we shoot Mexicans. That's where every condo gets an AK-47, so just shoot the Mexicans. It's like video games. Old school. Right. I'm gonna tell this joke. I know Garrett likes it. It's my favorite joke. I don't like kids, so I'm thinking about getting a vasectomy. You know, want to get a vasectomy. But there's a big difference between apple juice and applesauce. You know what I mean? I'm like terrified. I'll be with a girl. You know, everything will go well. I'll come everywhere, and then she's gonna be like, "Did you just pee on me?" And I'd be like, "No, I came." She'd be like, "That was just apple juice. Where's the sauce? You just peed on me. There's no chunks." Sorry, I had a vasectomy. That's why. So it's like a jellyfish got blended up or something. Right. So I'm an Uber driver. I take a lot of two-lane girls around. They're nightmares. I hate them. They should all die. I hate two-lane girls. The undergrads are a fucking nightmare. They always want to break the rules, you know? No matter what the rule is, there's like 4 seats in my car. I show up and there's like 19 two-lane girls. I'm like, "Hey, I'm Kim. There's like just a few extra of my friends, but it's okay. Can we just do it? And I'm like, "Look, my car only has 4 seats." And then she was like, "Look both ways." And then she's just like, "Kimberly, Tiffany, Sarah, Kimberly, Tata, Coco, Bambi." It's like she's calling reindeer, they all jump in the car really fast, like I'm not gonna notice. "Can we just do it? My dad's a judge, I've never seen consequences. Can we just do it though? But I'm never gonna work in my life, so can we just do it though? I've never held a job, and I barely held dicks. I go like this, I'm lazy, it's fine. Can we just do it? I don't even jerk off a full day." "You're a lawyer, I'm your wife." Right. I'll just one more joke. So I like incest porn. Who else likes incest porn? Incest porn is like crop circles. You see, only one out of a dozen is real. Smoke pot, worship aliens. I've never called about. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Highway Diary.
I'm your host, Eric Hollenbach. With me, I'm in the lovely abode of Dr. Jimmy Richards. How do you do, sir?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
You look like you're painting. You're covered in paint.
Yeah.
I see you have huge portraits in front of me of things that you're working on. It's pretty good stuff.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I've got all sorts of things that I've done. Around the house and stuff like that.
So I think I've known you for maybe a year and a half, almost 2 years, doing stand-up in New Orleans.
Yeah, a year and a half. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And has it been smooth? So let's just talk about this. So recently, you got banned from the Howlin' Wolf, and that's the place that I saw you the most.
Right.
Now let me give a little backstory. I think I've seen. You sometimes get frustrated getting if you show up early. Sometimes you get put at the end, and you seem like you could build social credibility with Red Bean on Comedy Gumbo and sort of like move closer and closer, further and further up on the list. And I think recently you were getting a little frustrated because you were getting pushed down and down and down. And then this other show at the Howlin' Wolf called Stoke. Is advertises as itself as America or as a NOLA's best comedian.
Right.
And
right.
I also saw that and I was a little annoyed by the title because it's like, okay, well, how many people are you really trying out? Give it a shot. Do you have a very small group of friends or do you like book a lot of other people? So I think that's where.
I think that was their initial show. I didn't really exactly have a problem with the show. I just did that on a whim. I just felt like.
So what did you write exactly on Facebook? and I have, luckily for me, I have a JPEG of the thing.
You JPEG'd it?
It was sent to me by John Rowe. Apparently John Rowe asked about it and someone sent him the screenshot. So it says, I don't know who's on the bill except for Kamar Stevens. I like Kamari, but I could personally bulldoze and slit every throat on stage. And that's a fact. And then the police were called, you know. So that was kind of...
Oh, the police were actually called?
Yeah, I believe so. You know?
Really?
And then so they showed up and filled out a report.
Oh,
there was a
man.
Death threat.
Really?
Here's the thing I know. I know that Jimmy Richards is not your real name. That's your stage name.
That is my stage name.
And therefore, if you take your stage name, I just think that, your overall act is... That you know you play like a character on stage who's like a crazy
right. It's a persona,
adrenaline junkie who stabs people.
Jimmy Richards does not stab people.
Okay,
none of the material is about killing anybody.
All right, so I'm just trying to set the scene
right,
the way I see it play out. But I did see before you wrote that you were getting frustrated overall. And I also saw that, like, when you first started doing stand-up, like, right off the bat, I was like, whoa, you are good immediately. Because you had
no,
this
No, not
persona.
Really. It took me, like, a couple weeks.
Okay, well, it took you a couple weeks, but then you got good fast because you had this persona, and you had early success, because I think you were having fun. And I think after a while, you weren't having fun anymore. Is that fair to say?
No, I mean, I had fun doing it. It's just, it's like, you know what I understand about first impressions. I've made plenty of lousy first impressions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had, like, probably, like, really not very, first impressions of other people. Like, they behave a certain way. And I'm like, you know, that's all right. They don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
I can be pretty patient, you know. I know what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
I've got very strange features. So I'm 45 years old. I've been through this a number of times. But usually after a period of time, people figure out, well, this guy's not trying to get anything from me, or he's not trying to take anything away from me and all this stuff. So it's just kind of like, I'm not going to go out of my way to try to explain myself, because most of the time people just have their minds made up. And that's just who they want me to be. And so, you know, I just said, I just let it ride. And it's just like, you know, I come across some of these people and I have never seen them before in my life. And they already immediately have gotten I can just tell by their body language that they just got like an earload of what people perceive me as. And it's just, I think a lot of it has to do with, I don't necessarily, for one reason, I mean, my material is, as I write it for myself and for whoever is in the audience that appreciate it. I really don't care if any of my fellow comics get it. And I try to respect everybody that does kind of whether I like their material or not, or whether I like them a lot. But I mean, I just feel like it's because they don't either get my material, so they have a desire to be kind of disrespectful towards me. And it just kind of, I just felt like letting off some steam. And the thing about bulldozing or slitting throats, that's another term for like dominating, like you would gut or kill. And bulldoze, where am I going to get a bulldozer from in the first place? And if I was actually interested in actually hurting anybody, why would I tell the world? If I wanted to hurt you, Eric, what I would do is I would find out your patterns, and I would follow you until I got you alone, and then I'd hurt you so nobody would know, nobody could see anything. But I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But good. If I wanted to hurt somebody, right. If I really felt the need to do that, then that's probably what I would do.
All right. Do you think it was... because there was a lot more posts that night, and I kind of felt like you were, by the tone of some of them, like you were like, these are the only comics I respect. This is my top 10
list. No. I mean, I respect a lot. I was just saying, I just said, well, these are the people that I think are more interesting to me, that I find interesting.
You were writing like a bit of a manifesto. You deleted a lot of it because I was looking for it this morning and I couldn't.
I left it up for weeks. If anybody wanted to see it, they could. And then I was just like, well, I got no need to keep it up.
Why did you take it down?
Because I got it off my chest, and that was just something that I didn't think it needed to linger around anymore. I mean, it was up there for a week.
There's been a few opportunities to play other places, like Babylon Sports Bar in Metairie on Friday.
Well, I just assumed that I was banned on the basis that it was going to be, you know, I can understand people, they want things to go smoothly, and, you know, I've been a bit disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just the way I looked at it. I mean, when I do go back, you know, I mean, this will be... So any questions anybody's got, they can listen to this. I don't have to keep repeating myself 10, 20, 30 fucking times.
You know, I respect you a lot, Jimmy, as a comedian. And right. And if someone has, a bad night and they freak out, I understand. It's like fucking tough to bomb over and over and over again. I bombed over and over and over again.
Oh, that had nothing to do with it.
For me, it's very stressful. And so if someone writes and gets something off their chest one night, it's like, okay, let's go talk to that person.
Right,
instead
right.
of like shunning them. I feel like I've been shunned, you know, like after a certain podcast I put out. A lot of people didn't like it, and I went up to, and one of the people that talked a lot of specific things about me was this guy Andrew Heelan, and then I go up to him at the Howlin' Wolf one night, and I'm like, hey bud, like, do you want to talk about it? And he goes, you're a garbage person, get out of here, blah blah blah.
That's why I don't talk to AIDS. That's why I don't talk to
it this. Was like zero. I was like, hi sir, what do you think about, because it's like, okay, you got a problem, like Facebook or whatever, you can only put like a certain one sentence. Let's have a chat. Let's check in. You know, I know stand-up makes me crazy. I know I've been cheated on by, like, crazy girls since I've lived here and stuff like that. It bums you out. I freaked out. I shouldn't have been doing stand-up for, like, 2 weeks. I should have taken time off.
No,
but I didn't, because it's, like, the only thing that keeps me going. You know what I'm saying?
No, it has nothing to do with...
I'm talking about my experience, right. Jimmy. So I'm saying I relate to
some... Well, the reason why The reason why I don't bother, because I get to, from the judging by the body language, it would be like a power trip for them. Because they're very, I find them to be very condescending and very snotty. Now I'm only talking to probably about maybe a dozen people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was probably speaking in a general
Did you have a conversation way. With someone where you felt like really put off by it afterward?
No, it's just a lot of it's just body language. It's like, I mean, a lot of some of these kids, they just seem like they're programmed. Like there's some sort of like cult, you know, because they mirror a lot of the same like body language and things of that nature. So it's just kind of like, what is this? Some sort of comedy cult? I mean, it's silly, and it's just like, do they not comprehend that what I'm doing on the stage just stays and lives on the stage? I mean, do they think that I'm this actual person and walking around? Do they think that...
Because you just say, like, boy, I like getting police on a high-speed chase. You know, it's just like, I just see a guy, he's playing a character.
It's absurd.
He's doing a monologue.
It's absurdist. I mean? It's absurdist, dark, black humor. There's nothing serial killing about it. And you know, I was getting like all these like really bizarre looks and stuff from all these some of these comics. And it was that, and I get the feeling that maybe it intensified when I told a certain joke at the House of Blues. And so I tell this joke, and this guy's in the audience, he's just belligerent and he's surly. Now I'm gonna set this straight, because a lot of people probably have been initiated about what went on, and a lot of people are mistaken about what went on. So I tell this joke.
I think I was there that night. I think I know what you're talking about.
Anyway, I told this joke, and it was a very dicey joke. Very, very dicey. Very, you know, I can tell people would be uncomfortable, but I felt compelled to... This is a joke that fell in my lap, and I felt compelled to tell it because of certain events that had happened. And so this drunk, belligerent guy's in the audience, and he just says, "Yeah!" And that was it. And I left the stage, and then the host, Leon Blanda, comes up, whips the audience against this guy, pits the audience against this guy, to the point where the guy gets into a fist fight with another patron. Now, I didn't... If I'm being blamed for creating... That's wrong, because I did not pit anybody against another person.
I remember that night. That was like maybe a year ago, right?
Possibly so.
Yeah. And I don't know if anyone's ever blamed you for that.
I just get the feeling it's just kind of like that. You know, it's just kind of like I've been in like certain like shows, and I can tell that I'm being like singled out. Like people are like making. And I'm not paranoid about it. I mean, you can just kind of watch them. You know, you can read people's body language. I'm very good at reading people's body language.
You know, Andrew Heelan, he likes to raise money for the ACLU, the Civil Liberties Union.
Right.
And one of the things they fight for is free speech.
Right.
And yet he does his jokes and then tries to disqualify other comedians around him and talk loads of shit about people that don't follow...
Well,
what
see,
his
is,
idea of is, this a is progressive,
a, right?
And so then look at me, I'm so great, I raise money for the ACLU. Behind people's backs, he tries to get people kicked off shows. Like Jeff Buck got booked on a show, Andrew Heelan raised a bitch fit.
Why?
Jeff Buck is a huge sweetie because of something he did 5 years ago. He put a joke on Facebook and didn't credit it or something. I'm just telling Jeff Buck's story. I apologize for doing that. Maybe I should ask him if it's cool. But, you know, like, to me, he screams in my face when I ask him, "Hey, why are you angry?" It's like, how dare you even ask me any questions about the thing that I already made up in my head and didn't talk to you about.
Well, this
directly.
Is the exact things that are just toxic that are in the environment, and just things that I'm aware of that I've had to deal with other people. It's like would it, I mean, I'm not trying to second guess anybody. I'm not trying to see if you're already aware of this. It's not, it's more like, you know, when you have people that come from other places and they kind of gravitate toward each other in like a major city. And they build like a second family. It's like, I guess you could consider some sort of, a second family. It's a home away from home. And it just seems like with a lot of these kids, it's more like they're creating this class system. And they tend to have like a really condescending and snotty attitude. Look, I really don't fit in with any of these kids. I'm not trying to. Okay, I don't care about, you know, their shows or whatever. Some of it just seems like it's a little bit of a monopoly. I mean, I like the idea that it's there are more opportunities and venues, but when it's just becoming like, where it's just like their playground, and it's just kind of like they're trying to cultivate cultivate something that just seems kind of elitist and kind of like a class situation.
You know, I don't know if anyone forgets about this incident, but I was banned from the Hi-Ho for making fun of somebody who made fun of me. And that's been going on for 2 years. And if I went there tomorrow...
See how silly and pathetic that is?
If I went there tomorrow, Duncan Pace would be like, I'm sorry, but... you know that guy who used to run it? Yeah, I take my answers from him, and so I'm not going to let you do my open mic, which has between 5 and 16 people in the audience. Sometimes it's packed, but you know what I mean? Like the average. And it's like, cool, I'm not at that level in New Orleans because I made fun of one person one time who made fun of me and then screamed at me backstage and poked me and like was like, what the fuck am I poking me? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I got screamed at and then for making fun of him after he makes fun of me.
Right.
I think I'm having a friend. But instead I've been banned for 2 years and continue to be banned by a partner.
I mean, it's silly. For me, I can understand. that's just really ridiculous.
What I would say to you, Jimmy, is now it's like a matter of, all right, you're banned from the Howlin' Wolf for now.
Yeah.
Don't stop. Where are you banned from?
Oh, I'm not saying. I just know that I'm banned from Howlin' Wolf. I mean, I can understand other. There are places I just don't go. I know for a fact they'd never let me. But
I would say don't disqualify yourself. Oh, that's what I would say. I would say try. You know.
No. I mean, it's just. I mean, I'm probably more interested in going out of town. I mean, this scene is. You know.
You just want a fresh start again.
Not like, necessarily that.
To see just like a fresh look at your material, like, you know.
Well,
like,
no,
go back.
I think it's. If I just stay in this area, it's just like going around and running in circles.
Right.
And it's just kind of like you need to kind of like really kind of just get out. And I don't know, maybe there was a. I guess I just wanted to be disruptive. I want to say, okay, well, you know, I can be ugly too. I can be very ugly. You know, I mean, you guys are, this is a really toxic atmosphere, and it just seems like a one big circle jerk for a lot of people that are, you know, they're just...
And also the book show system, if you don't book enough new blood into your shows, if you have a book show in New Orleans and you only book a few people... And then they kind of have 20 minutes.
Right.
And then the audience comes back twice in a row. They're going to go, oh, this is a, or what, maybe they come back once and 6 months later they come back.
Right.
You might have the same show. Right. Are they ever going to come back again? No, you got to mix new people in there.
Yeah.
You just have to mix new people in there. And you have to operate it like it's a meritocracy. If someone's working their ass off and doing well objectively,
right.
If you like their material or not, you got to give them a shot at your show. Be nice. Be nice to them. They'll be nice to you.
Right.
Well, it'll keep you honest because if someone else is doing new stuff in your room that you don't normally hear, you get a different look. And maybe, you know, Andrew Heelan's material won't work because I see that guy bombing all the time. I see that guy the most fervent member of this cult that we've been talking about because he's the least talented. And it shows to me, like, you're not a real comic if someone goes up to you face to face and goes,
what is your problem? And you start screaming, die in a bucket of AIDS. You're a crazy person who doesn't have good ideas, who's very stupid. If I was a cancer kid and Andrew Heelan was raising money for me, like, oh, look, I'm a good person, actually. I'm not a complete sociopath. I'm a good person. I'm raising money for cancer kids. And I went to his comedy show that he was raising money for me, and I would fucking pull the plug on myself. I would hang myself with my plug out the fucking window after seeing his fucking act.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's a great person. Yeah, he's raising money for braggadocious. He always talks about, oh, I had sex with a 22-year-old girl. I had sex with a 22-year-old girl. And then he's like, oh, but she was practicing necrophilia. So it's like a joke on him, but he says, I had sex with a 22-year-old girl like 9 times in the joke. And it's like, okay, dude, maybe that happened when you were 31. You're 39 now. Okay. Ugh. It's gross. Okay, now I got that off. I got that off my chest, Jimmy. I got that off my chest. I think you're stupid if you don't talk to people that you disagree with. You know, I think it's much more difficult to have a conversation with someone when you're not sure if you're right about a situation. It's you learn when you talk to people who disagree with you.
Right.
And if you have a different style of comedy, good. Give it a look. Give it a look in your room and see what happens.
Yeah.
I think if it works, it works. But I've also seen, like, you when you first started, Jimmy, and this is my perception. You were having fun, you were in the persona, and you, like, came in, like, with a blank slate. Like, let me just try these jokes out, like, the more, you know, just clean way of doing it. And you had some early success, but then I think the politics sort of got to you sometimes.
Yeah.
And it affected your performances sometimes. Because if you were in a grumpy mood when you went up because you had to wait too long, then maybe you didn't do as well. And then because you were grumpy, and then they keep you in the back of the list and stuff like this. You know what I mean?
Oh, maybe.
Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I never went on a stage. I mean, there may have been a couple of times where I was... But as far as like the Howlin' Wolf, I don't know if I remember going on stage with, in a bad mood. You know what I mean? Perceptions.
What's your plan now? Are you gonna try to start over in a new city? You want to move sometime?
Oh, I don't know about that. But I'll probably go out to other cities and try doing it out there. It's just, you know, I'm just kind of like, I just feel like I've outgrown this scene. I'd be curious how other cities operate. You know, just go out there and see. Because from what I understand from other people that have been in other cities, this is not the way other places operate. So I'm looking forward to it, you know. Operate as far as like this really like childish, petty, like stuff that you have to put up with whenever, like, if I was going to go to a show, it's like, you know, it's just, you can just tell by people's body language and the games that they play, like, you know, they're trying to browbeat you, or it's like, you know, it's like, you know, you don't have to stick around, you don't have to watch it, but you ain't gonna like fly out of the room like your pants are on fire because they said my first name. You know, it's like this. I don't care if you don't like it, but it's like, what do they think, that everybody in the room is going to follow the lead? Oh my God, there's a reason he's fucking leaving. This guy must be really bad. Oh no, what are we going to do?
Yeah, but as a performer, sometimes if I get off stage, I want to go outside and relax for 2 minutes.
No, these kids are... It's almost like... I don't want to say instructed to, but it's just too... Because they mirror the same body language, they do it the same way, and to me that's just kind of like cult like, because it's like people that are just kind of programmed. So I just, you know, it's just kind of like, I'll tell you, you know, it's just kind of, I remember I had this one comic come up to me, because I was like, people like just, I don't know, understand how they could actually think that I'm actually like that. It always amazes me. I always have considered the audience or my fellow performers to be of a certain intelligence level that they would be able to comprehend, you know, fact from fiction or anything of that nature. But I had this one comment, and I wasn't offended by it. It was like, I thought it was funny. But he really thought I was like looking for used panties. I pasted a Craigslist ad on Facebook. I didn't like, you know, explain anything. I just posted it, and it was someone on Craigslist looking for used panties. And he literally thought I was looking for used panties. Mm. It's like, well, if I was looking for used panties among people that know me, why would I do that?
Well, you're just trolling Craigslist Anything Goes for funny shit because right. People are crazy.
Right, right.
So you're just giving that person a shout out, maybe hoping, maybe someone has some panties that are used that are available.
I don't want any used panties.
But I'm saying maybe someone on Facebook would.
Oh, maybe.
Who cares?
I don't care. It's just, I think it's funny that someone had actually believed that's what I was looking
for. And like I keep saying, like, Jimmy Richards is your stage name.
That's cool.
You know, there was a terrible comic who used to be in this city, and he would have a stage persona and also a Facebook persona called Gene Shorts.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, so if Gene Shorts posted that he would slit everybody's throat at Siberia, you know what I mean? Would the cops get called? No, because people know that he runs a fucking open mic and a half, and so let's kiss his ass, huh? Anyway.
Oh, really?
Anyway, I'm just saying I sympathize with a lot of what you're saying, but also I made a mistake on Facebook, and I want to clear the air on this. I made a huge mistake on Facebook. I also know that sometimes you can get drunk and high and jerk off twice and have low testosterone and be dizzy and then see something on Facebook that makes you angry and then you react to it. Like I saw, you know, and this guy is a nice person. His name is Isaac Kozel, and he did a picture of Jen Kirkman's hand, and she was like,
Who's Jen Kirkman?
She's a comic, and she recently had
She's a local comic?
No, she's in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And she had a special that just got produced on CISO. And so, took a picture of her hand with notes on it, like, oh, this is like Watergate of, or Deflategate of comedy specials.
Yeah.
And I went crazy, because I'm like, okay, Jen Kirkman, I know her. Well, I don't know her, but I met her before at Flapper's Comedy Club, and she was very nice to me, and she just had a special. It's impossible to make it in this industry.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, look at her hand. I've exposed the fact that she uses notes is annoying to me when that person hadn't made it themselves. So I went crazy on them, you know. But the problem with that was then I had a face-to-face conversation with Isaac, and he goes, dude, I wrote an article about her. Because he works for Sidesplitter magazine, and she brought that up to me, so I was like yes anding what she was talking to me right. about in the article, so I was like fuck, you know, and I bought them a beer and I bought them a sandwich and shit like that, and I still feel bad about it, so I just want to clear the air for me. That's what a mistake I made on Facebook, but you know, it's important not to anticipate shitty behavior just because someone's friends with another person who you've had a bad experience with. I've found, you know what I mean, like Isaac Kozel runs Voodoo Lounge with Dr. Andrew Heelan, you know what I'm saying, so I can't link them together, you know what I'm saying. So anyway,
all right.
It's also like in your head, if I find it's like a mental game stand-up. You know, in your head, if you're thrown off or if you think people in here don't like me, it's harder for me to perform. You know, if I know I'm in a supportive room, like that's why I always love Garrett shows on Sunday. He used to perform Stand Up or Shut Up at the Black Label Ice House. Now he does it at Buddha Belly. I was there last night and everyone was supportive and it was fun and people were funny. And you need that moment of relaxation to get up there to, you know what I mean?
Right.
If the people in the room are nice, it's easier. It's more fun, right?
Right.
Anyway. Yeah. Sorry.
It's all right.
Anything else you want to talk about Jimmy Richards? About
you know, it's just you know, like I said, I mean, look, I'm not here. I mean, I could be a very, very friendly guy. It's like, but like I said before, I'm not trying to do anything other than do my material. So if anybody's threatened by me for any certain reason, like they're thinking I'm going to take something away from them, or I'm going to attack them or hurt them, it's just kind of like I don't want to steal your girlfriend away. I don't want to try to hook up with you. I'm not trying to like break your bromance into. I'm not interested in any of that sort of stuff, you know. It's just all I wanted to do was just do my time and go home. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, I've seen you have really good shows, you know, and I think I've been in the room when a lot of audiences, as soon as you went on stage, like got it.
Oh yeah,
and started laughing.
Well, I think when it's sparser is when it becomes people. You might have like a couple of people who might be afraid because they think that I'm, I guess, zeroing in on them or whatever. It's just what happens when it's a sparser room. It takes on a different. It just changes. The atmosphere changes for some reason. Just
toxic masculinity, you know.
What's that?
It's when, you know, you're like a rapey, murderous person.
No.
That's toxic masculinity.
No, I'm not that.
You know, Trump's going around grabbing pussies. You know, rude, toxic, you know. He's peeing on people.
Oh, really?
Hookers. They're getting well paid.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, all right. So it looks like you're having a chill out. I caught you in the middle of painting. Painting. Before you're a comic, you're an artist.
Right.
And so is painting the thing that you always come back to?
No, I'm kind of burnt out with it. I mean, I paint Mardi Gras floats, but I don't know. I mean, I've been trying to, I've been getting a bunch of canvases together because I was going to start doing a YouTube channel where I'm like doing like a really bizarre like paintings, so I was interested in be pursuing that.
Alright, well keep us posted.
I'll keep you posted.
Alright, bud, we good?
Yeah, it looks well.
All right. That's been another episode of Highway Motherfucking Diaries with Jimmy Richards.